Women's Shiur, Wednesday, Chavis HaLavas, the end of Shara Bitachon, 26th November, 4 Kislev, Wednesday afternoon, Shara Bitachon. Okay, we're learning Chavis HaLavas, Shara Bitachon. We're at the very end of Shara Bitachon, the very end of Perek Zion. Perek Zion started off being about, he listed Mafri'im, obstacles to acquiring Bitachon. Then at the end, the paragraph starts with Uklolo Shel Dovar. He says, okay, I'm going to give you a rule now. Now, in the rule, he goes through life. He goes through a person's life. And he says, he presents that as a person, because when he was talking about obstacles of bitachon, one of them is not having any, not thinking about, not having any ideas of the nature of Hashem. Now, of course, we can't have any real understanding of the nature of Hashem. He's beyond our comprehension. We can't, as I'm very fond of saying, we can't even have any comprehension of anything spiritual. We just like, we feel little butterflies in our stomach when we say spiritual, but we don't. Our minds don't grasp anything spiritual. We don't know what it means. Our heads doesn't. It's not really toe face. We think of angels. We think of a person with wings. It's not. Like, what is spirituality? We don't know. It's just sort of this warm, fuzzy feeling. We don't really know. The Chazon Ish, I think I said it last week, gives an example just to, again, it's a gashmiistic example, so it's kind of funny. He says it would be like a principle of math. Like the diagonal has to be longer than the sides of any triangle, of the triangle. Like the diagonal is going to be a concept. It's conceptual. It's not tied to time or space. It's not tied to any particular object. It's a concept. It's a universal thing that's above time and space and physical and physicality. That's the closest he can come to it. He says it's a concept. It's a musuk, and he gives examples of mathematical concepts. But it really, you know, I guess in Aristotle there's like the idea of identity, like I am I. Two things can't be in the same place at the same time. A thing wouldn't be in different places at the same time. Like it's conceptual. It's physics. There's a lot of concepts in physics also, not just in math. Okay. But anyway, so we don't really understand the nature of Hashem, but Chayus Halvavos definitely in his Sefer demands from us that we study the nature of Hashem as much as the human mind is able to. Why would Hashem want us to do that? Well, the Rambam says that many times there are physical things described, right? Vayomer Hashem. Hashem is not really talking. Hashem has no vocal cords. There's no sound waves hitting my eardrums when Hashem speaks to a person. I would think of it. Moses. It's childish. It's not how Hashem doesn't talk that way. It doesn't hit your eardrum. It's an inner voice. And you have to know it's Hashem. It's not simple for Hashem to talk to people. When Avram heard Hashem telling him to go Shecht Yitzchak, he had to be sure it was Hashem, not some sort of hallucination brought on by something he smoked that morning. You had to know. You have to be borer. And they did know. Nevi'im knew. So at any time, Vayichar Af Hashem. They're like, what? You know, there's a description that's so physical, as if Hashem has a nose, and Hashem is getting angry. So the Rambam talks about this, Yad Hashem, absurd. So the Rambam says, it's just a way, the Chavis HaLavas would say, and the Rambam basically does say, because we have to think of Hashem. And these are the only tools we have. So when we want to think of Hashem being displeased, Hashem has no emotions anyway, so anyway, we're already thinking in human terms. We want to think that this does not, v'noach motzachem b'nei Hashem. If you want to say this is not motzachem b'nei Hashem, so the Lashon HaPasuk is Hashem got angry, and, you know, and got angry is vayicharaf, and this way we can understand what it means. So when it says, you know, Hashem, anything, any description of Hashem, Yad Hashem, is only a way, it's a representative, it's conceptual, it means Hashem's koach, it doesn't mean his yad. But anyway, but it teaches us about Hashem. And certainly if there's a mitzvah, and according to the Rambam, it's like a very, very basic mitzvah, the halachta bidrachov, mahu rachum afato rachum, mahu chanun afato chanun. So we have to know what Hashem does, what Hashem is fair, Hashem is meitiv, where we have to follow in his, we have to emulate Hashem. So we do have to have an understanding of Hashem. The Chavis demands it of us in Shar HaYichud, and he's saying here that the more you understand what Hashem is, the more of a grasp you have of Hashem, the more bitachon you will have. Then he gives an example. Now his example is, so what's his example? He says, as a person matures and acquires seichel, bitachon develops. The one-day-old baby only has bitachon in where he's nursing from. That's all. He doesn't even know the mother yet. Maybe in his days they assumed not. Nowadays they say yeah. Then he gets a little more seichel and he recognizes the mother. He gets a little more seichel, and in his days the power behind the throne is the father, who's bringing the money into the house. How does the mother give him food? How does the mother take care of him? It's really the father. Then he gets a little older and he shifts his bitachon to himself. He matures, he gets a job, he earns money, or he has an employer and he shifts his bitachon to his employer. Then, and again, as he matures, he starts thinking about Hashem. And so, right, and as he matures, and then it's his first, he goes through 10 stages. 10 stages of having bitachon in Hashem. The next day, so he has the mother's breast, the mother, the father, himself, an employer. Then he says he starts thinking about Hashem. Number 6 is, he starts to realize as he matures that Hashem is running the show, but he's not ready yet to make any grand leap, so he'll have bitachon in Hashem when he can't do anything about it. He can't bring rain, he can't avoid, you know, the weather, he can't do anything about the weather, he can't do anything about finding a parking spot, you know, he's either going to find a parking spot or not. So he has bitachon in Hashem when he realizes he can't do anything about it. Okay, then number 7, he says, is he gets a little more hakara in Hashem's omnipotence, in Hashem's tova, in Hashem's being a meitiv, in everything that we learned about in Perek Beis and Perek Gimel of Shar Bitachon. And then he already has bitachon in Hashem and things that he understand, that he also thinks. Earning a parnasa, he works, he earns money. But, you know, I'll be talking to Hashem maybe to make it easier for me. To if I have a job now that demands a lot of me, so I want to rely on Hashem to get me an easier job, you know, to make my life easier. But it's not just me. Hashem is going to pick what job I have. That's number 7. And then you get even stronger, and then you just realize that this is already number 8, that you need Hashem for everything. You need Hashem to go to the refrigerator and get a container of milk. You need Hashem to cross the street. You have to rely on Hashem for anything you do. It's not a question of hard or easy. You know, till now it's only holding by contributing factors, right? He was contributing and Hashem had his share. So first he's only ready to be boteach by Hashem, to rely on Hashem, when he realizes there's nothing he can do about it. Then he's even ready to rely on Hashem to make his life easier, you know, when he's a contributing factor. Then number 8 is he relies on Hashem for everything. Everything. He realizes that to cross the street he needs Hashem. To think, to talk, everything. He's relying on Hashem for everything in his life.
before we go on, you say, man, what's number 9 and 10 already?
You know, we're usually stuck at number... Okay, whatever. But I'm learning this, and he wants to show that as you mature and you acquire seichel, your bitachon and Hashem will grow. But it's not really... So what is he being the first 5 for? Like, what's the point? You know, you're rachok me Hashem, then you're an infant, you were just born, then you're 2 days old, then you're a half a year old, then you're a year old, and then you're all of a sudden you're 18 years old, right? There's, you're not thinking about Hashem at all. So I think that he's not only talking about the objects of my bitachon, but he's talking about also the nature of the bitachon. Your bitachon matures. It's not just a question of, I only have bitachon in the breast, I have bitachon in the mother, I have bitachon in the father, I have bitachon in myself, I have bitachon in an employer, and then number 6, you reach Hashem. Then it wouldn't really prove his point. I mean, his point is, the more mature you are, the more you'll be bitachon Hashem. Like, what's the point of the first 5? Just to show you that the more intelligent, as your mind matures. So you could say, yeah, he wants to show you that as the mind matures, you look behind the obvious, you look behind the scenes, you look between the lines, right? So that means the nature of bitachon, that's my point, the nature of the bitachon changes. On the first level, the child's nursing. So there's no thinking process there at all. It's just total instinct, it's mindless. We'd laugh, like, the breast is an inanimate object. I'd be talking in nothing. It's just it's part of the mother. Like the mother's hand, the mother's foot. But the child doesn't even have that much seichel, so that be talking is like totally mindless. Then it moves up, and there's already some seichel involved. And he realizes that, as we saw when the Chavis HaLodah said, that an obstacle to be talking is that we attribute events to what we see as the immediate cause, right? So we laugh, right? Like I said, the Arab killed him. The Arab killed him. That's not true. Not true. I mean, it's true in the sense that he will answer for what he did, because he had Bechira and he did something, but that's not the Gezeira of death. The Arab didn't do it. Just like Paro didn't do it, and Nebuchadnezzar didn't do it, and Hitler didn't do it. They didn't do it. But we look at the immediate cause. And if we don't look at the really immediate cause, the gun did it. So that we all laugh. Just like we laugh at the infant. It's just part of the mother, that's all. Okay. So you have to have a little maturity. Your seichel has to work a little to understand that it's not the gun, it's the arrow, right? A child would say, an infant, you know, a 3-year-old would say, it's the gun. The gun shot him. And you go, oh, the person shot him. Then you say, oh, it's really... You're thinking deeper. It's not a question of what's the object of your bitachon. He's showing that as your mind matures, you start to realize what the real cause of the real cause of the effect is. I am full. So at first I just see the nursing. Then I see the mother's giving me breakfast. It's a person and they're giving me breakfast. Then you say, oh, let me think a little. Where'd the mother get the breakfast from? Why was there food in the pantry? So that's why it shifts to the father. The bitachon, the nature of the bitachon changes. It becomes a more well thought out, more mature bitachon. I'm not relying on my instinctive reaction, which we tend to do. Who killed him? We don't want to say Hashem killed him. It's not a nice sentence. But certainly the Gezeiros Misa was from Hashem, and then there's the way it happened. So as you mature, then you start, but you're still relying on someone else, which is very hard to have a full-fledged reliance. That's what we saw in Perek Beis and Perek Gimel, that, and Aleph really also, that the definition of Bitachon is going to be that I am not stressed. I'm not relying on someone else. They can change their minds. The mother could decide not to give me the meal. The father could decide not to give money into the household. Oh, I'm relying on myself. Then a person feels like he pats himself on the back, and he says, "Kochi v'otzim yadi," and you feel more, you have more, the nature of the bitachon in Eichus changes. I'm more confident, I'm more reliant than either me or an employer. Then he says, oh, then one day I realize that that's so flawed because there's so many things I don't control. I really have no business being confident. I have no business having be talking to myself. I was talking to someone yesterday, Parnassa, and he's starting to realize that I talked about how you always rely on something, and you have to rely on Hashem. And he said, you know, he realizes that he's been relying on himself, on his own capabilities, which we do. We tend to do that, certainly. I'm relying on my own yicholes, on my own capabilities. So when you read the Torah, like, kochi votsum yadi, oh, that's so gross. But any time we rely on our intelligence, on our capabilities, on our know-how, which we do, you know, without thinking, we instinctively rely on ourselves. But if we think about it, we'd say, you know, so you start off, there's so many things I don't control. How can I rely on myself? How can I rely on my boss? I can't control how he thinks of me. I can't control if he has to downsize and he decides to fire me. I don't control these things. What's deciding that? Hashem. But you're still not able to do it if you're involved. Right? So you have to grow. And then you all of a sudden you conceptualize Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad. So Hashem is always in charge, even if I can do it. And it's not just a question of a harder job, and Hashem can get me an easier job. He has protection. He can get me hired, right, for an easier job. Everything. Getting a container of milk out of the refrigerator. Hashem controls that also. You know, you mature in your understanding of Hashem, and it has to be understanding. Lip service is cheap. Lip service is easy. We're talking about Chovos HaLevavos. We're talking about really feeling it that way, seeing it that way, realizing it, but really realizing it. So that's number 8. In number 9, b'chashet tischazek hakaroso yoser mizeh b'chemlas habori al bruav. He throws that in, and it's like such a, just casually throws in that phrase, and he says, don't forget that we owe all of this to Hashem, because our seichel, right, is from Hashem. Choneinu meyut chodei abinu v'haskel baruch ato Hashem chonein adoaz. Our ability to think and to conceptualize and to imagine and to visualize and to explain, this is all a gift from Hashem. I don't know how to do it. You don't know, nobody knows how to conceptualize. There's no how to conceptualize. I mean, you can read books and that'll help you learn the tools, but doing it is a gift from Hashem. Just like anything in our body is a gift from Hashem. The electrical circuits that control the messages from the brain to the muscles is a gift from Hashem. We don't do that. We don't know how to make the generator to do that. And if I have a stroke, chas v'shalom, so, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. I just stopped working. So he throws that in, and it's good. You know, it's good once in a while to be... By the way, don't think that you are so smart that you're realizing, I mean, Linowitz gives such a good shiur, and I go to the shiur, and I'm listening, and I'm understanding. Don't forget, it's a gift from Hashem. That's okay. Yeah. He just throws it in, just to gently remind us that. Yirtzeh, when he techzak nechach hakaraso, yoser b'mizeh, b'chem l'tzabori al bruav, then he grows in his understanding, and again, not lip service, but in his, like, realization. Imagine the realization of a child. Like, he realizes it's the mother. Wow. It's like a new world. He realizes it's the father. Wow. I never realized it. Right? Like when they discovered the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, right? Everybody knows the Wizard of Oz, right? And when the Toto there pulled the curtain, they go, oh, now I know. That's really the source of everything. That's what it's going to be like. All of my book, they're going to pull the curtain. You're going to see Hashem. Say, wow, he was like controlling everything. Wow, right? So if you're going to grow in your recognition of Hashem, it's so interesting. Because you're already having bitachon in everything you do. He like sort of leaves the world of I'm so into Hashem that number nine is, this is like shifts. I am perfectly satisfied with whatever Hashem does to me and for me. I accept my life. I accept everything Hashem does to me. So like what? Yeah, in other words, the step after, in number eight, you were already totally relying. I understand I'm relying on Hashem for talking, for thinking, for getting, for crossing the street, for waking up in the morning, for walking, for all the 15 birchos hashachar, right? And then you go, wait a second, and everything that happens to me is from Hashem, the same meitiv, the same power, the same rachamon, the same person that's enabling everything in my life, down to the smallest little prat, is also controlling my life, is also doing things to me. And your concept is that he's a meitiv, and you can trust him, and he cares about you, all the seven things which allow bitachon, and you cannot bitachon without realizing that Hashem cares about you more than anybody else in the world, including yourself. Hashem knows what's good for you. Hashem knows everything that's going on in your life. Hashem knows your innermost thoughts. All the things that we learned about in Perek Beis and Perek Gimel, when you really internalize those ideas about Hashem, you say, wow, and I look at my life. And look what Hashem did for me. I'm like totally not involved. Not everything I do, I'm relying on Hashem, but I'm relying on Hashem for everything that happened to me. I'm relying on Hashem for where I live and when I was born. That's the reliance on Hashem, is like the realization that Hashem is controlling every event in my life, even events I'm totally not involved in. It happens to me. Who my parents are, when I was born, whom I was born to, where I was born, where I lived, who my neighbors were, who my friends were, what school I went, everything in my life. And I accept, and because I've developed, in order to have bitachon, you have to develop your realization that Hashem loves you more than anybody else in the world, and Hashem knows everything else that's going on, and Hashem knows what's good for you, and Hashem cares about you even if you don't deserve it, right? Number seven. And nothing, there is no other power in the world that can change anything Hashem wants to happen, etc., etc., etc. You say, well, Hashem is responsible for everything in my life, and he's a meitiv, and he cares about me more than I care about myself. So you accept everything in your life. Now this is he's going to talk in the extreme, because he's going to he says we've talked about this a lot, I'll repeat it, because he says Yirtzeh, whatever Hashem does to him, he accepts. Uvenir'ehu v'nistor v'yismach b'chol asher asa lohu Elokim. That's the Madrego we learned in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh number 27. Yismach, because he knows it's good. He might not understand how it's good, but he knows it's coming from a loving, caring... Right? Imagine, I mean, again, children and parents are the best way of seeing this. If our children would trust us, well, I guess I should start with, if it would be true that everything we do to our children is for their own benefit, not just to get them out of the way so I can get out of the house. But he really has to go to sleep at 8:30. Not because I have to leave and I have a 20-9 appointment. But the kid needs to go to sleep now. If the children would trust us, so then they would accept what parents do, even if they don't understand it. It is the same is true with a school. Once you develop a level of trust in the school, this is what we're trying to do in Arzei Levanon, and I've talked to the boys about this. Once you trust them, you don't think they're just doing it for self-aggrandizement, and you don't think they're doing it just to be empowered, and you don't think they're doing it just to be the boss, and you don't think they're doing it just to have to be famous. You don't. It's not possible, because kids nowadays are very cynical and they read all sorts of things, and they from the 60s and on, and I grew up with that. Society has taught children not to trust parents, not to trust authority. Unfortunately, enough things happen to make it difficult to trust them, because a lot of things go on where they talk. But the child doesn't have the discernment yet. But if imagine a child who trusts his parents. So even when the parent says, you got to go to sleep tonight at 8 o'clock, because we're going on a trip tomorrow, and he may choose to say, because we're going on a trip tomorrow, and the parent may choose not to say it, but the child, you got to go to sleep at 8 o'clock. If the child trusts the parent, they know the parents only look out for his good, and they're not trying to get out of the house, they're not trying to just throw his weight around, and et cetera, et cetera, so the child will do it. The child will trust parents only looking out for my good. And if he would think, like, this is what the Chazal wants to think about Hashem, how many breakfasts did mommy serve me? How many lunches did mommy serve me? How many piles of laundry did mommy do for me? How many times did she stay up a whole night because I had fever? You know, and I should only go to sleep at 8 o'clock at night. Like, come on. Like, come on. What am I, nuts? All of a sudden, she's like being bad to me. Okay, but children, that's us and Hashem. The same thing. Same thing. Hashem, Shar HaBechina. That's why I'm Bechina. And then all of a sudden, I don't get the job. You know, how could you do this to me? It's silly. It's childish. It's immature. But it takes years. It takes years. Hashem is invisible, and it's hard. It's so hard, and that's why Chaim Shalom says in Shavuot the Sado Kim, which will be starting with Hashem. Next, I don't even think we're going to start it next week, the rate I'm going. But he says in Shara Vodas Elokim, he says everything, Madregas are a ladder. He says, and if you try to skip a rung, you're going to fall. You got to go step by step. And that's why the Chavis HaLovas, the Sefer, is so well constructed, so tight. And he says, well, if you try to skip a step, because that's easy, you're going to fall. So these are Madregas. But so I'm describing it as a no-brainer, but it takes years to develop that level of trust in Hashem, that level of hakara. Maybe we have to learn Shara HaBechina over again, right? And how much good Hashem showers upon us every day. All the seven things that the Chavis HaLovas sets up the categories in Shara HaBechina, whether it's biology or zoology or astronomy or physics and chemistry and history and personal history, etc., etc. So he says here, you will reach this level if you keep working on bitachon. You will reach a level where your reliance on Hashem will, all of a sudden you'll rely on Hashem for everything that happens to you. The yismach b'chol asher wasalohu elokim mimaves, even if you, death, whether it's your own death, someone else's death, umechayim v'reish, poverty, v'osher, ubrius v'choli. Let's finish the sentence and then we'll say, what? Lo yichsof. This is so hard. He trusts Hashem so much that he does not desire. He doesn't say, you can reach a madrega where you say, thank you Hashem. Thank you Hashem, let's say you saved my life, you gave me this wound in my foot. I was in excruciating pain for 2 years, a year and a half. But thank you, it saved my life. And it did. Arguably it did. Then you say, Hashem, couldn't you have done it a different way, Hashem? Like, I wish you would have done it. Couldn't you, like, just send me a letter or something? that's a bare thought. Because Hashem did it in the best possible way. Not only does he do the best possible thing, but he does it in the best possible way. Now, the best possible way could be because he knows I wouldn't have listened to the letter. And it could be, he had to really, hit me in the solar plexus. And not for a day, and not for a week, and not for a month, but for a year and a half, till maybe something sunk in. See, he will not desire that he won't desire something else, even if he knows it's Hashem, and he knows it's the Tova, but he won't desire it'll happen a different way. Like, he trusts Hashem so much, he understands, because Hashem's power is limitless. He did it the easiest way for him. That's how our minds work. But there's no such thing. Hashem could, let's even put aside a Nes Goloi. Put that aside. Hashem could do anything. Hashem could maneuver anything that a Nes Nistar could produce any result. Right? It doesn't take a Nes Goloi. Do you want to fly to the moon? Hashem could maneuver your life that you'll become an astronaut. There's nothing beyond it. Our vision is so limited. Hashem controls all of history. So you would be born in a different year, and you'd be born to different parents, and you'd be born, maybe you'd even be born as a non-Jew, if Hashem decides to make it that you will fly to the moon, right? So he won't want anything else. V'yismach v'layichsof, he will not desire, then this is a Madrega number 9 of Bitachon. I'm relying on Hashem so much, and I know so much that he only does what's best for me, that I start to, I can expand it beyond what I do and how successful I am, and even beyond going to the refrigerator to get a container of milk. I now realize that anything that happened to me in my whole life, I could trust Hashem about, and I can be, and I realize it's for the good, right? All these things that enable full-fledged bitachon will now enable your realization and understanding of anything that happens to you, that it's for the best, and Hashem did it in the best way, and you'll accept it, and you won't wish that it would have been different. That's such a heavy statement, and it's a chavis halavus. You can quote him, the end of Shara Bitachon. You will not desire that it would have happened in a different way, less painful, less tragic, less, couldn't you do it in a different way? No. I mean, you'll be on that madrega where you'll realize that Hashem only does it in the best possible way also. V'lo yirtza, he won't want elamasha ratzalo. I only want what Hashem wants for me. What do I want to do when I grow up? What Hashem wants me to do. Now you say, Rabbi Milinowitz, don't we daven not to be sick? And don't we daven not to be poor? And don't we daven, right? What are we davening for? Is that like a low madrega? And the higher madrega will not daven to be well? So the answer is that as long as you can become well, let's even put out Nez Goloi on Matnogeos. Let's make believe it's Matnogeos. Hashem already has been Mitzamtzim himself. He's not doing Nez Goloi's anymore. After the age of Nevuah, after the age of Chag Yizkaya Malachi, even in the second Beis HaMikdash, okay, I guess that's wrong, because Chanukah was a Nez Goloi with the Shemen. Okay, but at some point in time, there was no more Nez Goloi. That's what Chanukah is called, the end of all Nisan. The Gemara calls Esther the end of Kol Nisan, but then the Gemara says that's the ones that were written down, the ones that were canonized as part of Tanakh. But really, Chanukah is Sof Kol HaNisan. So let's call that the last Nez Goloi. Okay, no more Nez Goloi. We'll put that aside. So I can get better without a Nez Goloi. So I don't know yet that Hashem wants me to be sick. Maybe Hashem wants me to daven, to turn to Him and to become a better person through my davening. Maybe Hashem wants me to do tshuva. Maybe Hashem wants me to give more tzedakah. Maybe Hashem wants me to daven more intensely. So the reason we daven is because it's not a done deal. We don't know yet what Hashem wants. So like in the back of our minds, it's like, k'shekolu kol akitzin, it's not happening. I'm not becoming better. I'm not getting parnosa. It's not happening. If the reality is that you're stuck, that's when this kicks in. Okay, Hashem wants me to be poor. Hashem doesn't want me to have children. No, I accept it. Hashem doesn't want me to get married. I accept it. You wouldn't assume so. But why should you assume so? There's so many other things Hashem might be wanting. You don't know that that's what Hashem said. We know that illness is an imperfect state. We know that poverty is an imperfect state. We know that Yisurim is an imperfect state. It's not like Hashem's choosing between 10 great things, and one of them is sickness, and one of them is health, and one of them is poverty, and one of them is riches. Hashem, it's good. We know a Navi is supposed to be rich, a Navi is supposed to be healthy, you can't belong on the Sanhedrin if you have a physical defect. We know what perfection is, we know what ideal is. So sometimes the ideal for me is to be sick. right? That might be my ideal, because it's the best thing for my neshama, it's the best thing for my life, it's the best thing to happen to me. But until it's a done deal, this would not kick in. Now, look, I'll be davening. So that's, and as long as there's a hishtadlus to be made, which meets the rules of hishtadlus, so that you do it, because Hashem demands you do hishtadlus, as we learned previously. But you won't overdo hishtadlus, right? Why do people like sink into a depression and become dysfunctional? I say someone's in a bad marriage. I've talked to people in a bad marriage. Or let's talk about a girl not finding a shidduch. The real fear and panic and depression and dysfunctionality is because she lost hope. She thinks it'll always be this way. That's the real. If you would tell a 25-year-old girl, if a navi would come and say, "I see your wedding. When you're 31, you're going to get married." She would be totally calm. She's not going to start crying. I mean, you know, she might want, but Hashem, I want more children, you know, maybe. But don't worry, you'll have triplets the first year, twins the fourth year. Don't worry, you'll have all the children you want. It's really, think about it, it's really the fear that it's always going to be this way. And it's the same with marriages, with relationships. So, if you realize you can daven, you do ishtadlus, it could change. So if a person finds, I would say, if a person also finds themselves becoming dysfunctional because of their present problem, then this has to kick in earlier. What am I saying? I'm saying this really kicks in after this, you know, it's unchanging. Because or else you don't know that Hashem wants you to be sick. Maybe Hashem wants you to daven. Maybe Hashem wants you to change doctors. Maybe because you don't know how Hashem works. Maybe that doctor needs the parnasa more than this one, so Hashem wants you to get to Hashem is like so everything that we don't know Chesbonos Hashemayim. Maybe Hashem just, I had to go through all this because Hashem wanted me to meet Dr. Rosenblum. See, I put in a plug for Dr. Rosenblum. Maybe Hashem wanted me to meet him because we made a certain connection, and now you know how things work in life. You met this person, and therefore you met that person, and therefore you made that connection, and then 16 years down the line, my son gets a job, you know, and you could trace it back. You don't know why Hashem does things. So when the Chaim Lvov brother says, be accepting of whatever Hashem does, he's talking about in as much that it's a done deal, once you see that that's what Hashem's doing. Now, again, you don't know yet what Hashem has in mind when a person's poor. Maybe he wants him to daven more, maybe he wants him to move, maybe he wants him to go to a different place where he'll have better influences in his life. Maybe he's stuck here, maybe he's not growing, where history shows and experience shows that the nisoyon of Ashirus is more difficult than the nisoyon of Anius. Right, you're more apt to forget about Hashem. That's history shows that for Klal Yisrael, and in the case of individuals also, unfortunately, that's the case. It's a hard nisayon. I think it's impossible. Some people respond very well in both cases, but they're usually what humbles us in general. Like talking in generalities, humility, humbleness, feeling I'm not in control is usually easier when you're an ani than when you're an usher. So that's the answer to this question. That's my answer, and I think it's a very simple answer. Of course, maybe why don't I daven when I'm rich that I should become poor? Because we know that being the others were rich. We know Moshe Rabbeinu was rich. We know that that's in a certain objective sense, we know it's good. If Hashem decrees poverty upon me, so then I am happy once I realize that that's the way it's going to be. At what point do you decide that's the way it's going to be? I have no idea. how would anybody know? I guess a woman without children, once she reaches an age where you're not going to be, that would be already an ace gully to have children after a certain age. Right? We're not expecting Sorah, Blosi, Oisul, Yedna. That's not happening. So then, okay, then you do what the Chavis Lo says. This is what Hashem had for me and my wife. But you could use it at an earlier stage if a person finds himself becoming despondent, sad, not besimcha, koshkein, dysfunctional. Then you have to pull this out at an earlier stage and say, listen. And again, that's why I say, because really my despondency is because I think it's always going to be this way. I don't see any hope. So then you say, listen, Hashem, if Hashem, if this is the way it's going to be forever, so then this is going to be the way it's going to be, and this is what Hashem wants me. And you just use this midah not to become dysfunctional. You don't stop davening because you don't know what Hashem has in mind. But if you find yourself becoming, if a person finds themselves becoming dysfunctional or depressed, that's dysfunctional, or even sad, really, because a person's supposed to be besimcha, then you got to pull this out. You know, no, even if it stays like this, even if it stays like this forever, that's fine. That's cool. This is what Hashem has in mind. I mean, I trust Him. I trust Hashem, and I trust He knows what He's doing, and I trust this is the best thing for me. Might be the best thing for my neshama, but that's what counts. That's really what I want. Maybe I need someone to bang that into my head. I want what's best for my neshama. I don't want what's best for my guf. That was number 29 in the Shara Cheshbon HaNefesh. So, okay, we'll stop here. We're not getting anywhere. No, Chassidus is very important because this is a level of bitachon. It's really, you have to think about this. You have to mull it over. It's a level of, he's talking about levels of bitachon. So after he reached what we would consider the top, number is only number 8. Because now number 9 is that my bitachon allows me to climb up one more step, because to have full-fledged bitachon, which was number 8, I have to be convinced that Hashem likes me, loves me, wants what's best for me, is able to do anything, will only do what's best for me, cares about me, loves me more than anyone else in the world, including myself, will do things for me even if I don't deserve it, right? The whole 7 things of Perek Beis, and he elaborates upon them in Perek Gimel, allows me to climb up one more step and say, hey, wow, that's true about everything that happened to me in my life, even things I don't do. Everything that happened to me is from a loving, caring Hashem who only wants what's best for me, whom I trust totally. I trust Him. And therefore you accept whatever He does. And you're besimcha even, you accept it. Okay. Okay. Let's stop here.